Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Scriptures and your Holy Gospel. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to begin our week with your word. Dear Lord, help me to preach this word now and let it indeed, as always, be your words and not mine. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we often think of sin as a slip up or something that we do now and then. But it's too weak of a definition of sin because we know that sin is something in which the wages of it leads to death. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 1, that you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. So we know from verse 10 that we were a part of God's handiwork, that we were created for good works, which God prepared for beforehand for us to do. But the scriptures make it clear that by our own nature and without Christ, we are not good. The 20th and 21st centuries remind us of that all too powerfully. We only have to go decade by decade to understand and to remember the depths of our sins and the things as a human race that we have done. And so, you know, I'm tempted to say, well, not me, right? You know, but unfortunately, 80% of Hitler's army were Lutherans and Catholics, ordinary people, just like you and me. And so, when I think about, when I look at the church in America today, I wonder if we're able and would be prepared to recognize idolatry if it came our way, like the Germans were put in a position to do, and the church in Germany failed. Would we be ready to put God before all else? In Ephesians 2, 3, in the second part of that verse, it says, "And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else." There was an author who came to the university campus. His name was Thomas Wolfe, and I haven't read him, but he's written many books, and he's a famous author. And he came to the campus, and he gave a speech, and it was a religious campus with a chapel, and so the dean of the chapel came, and many of the worshipers of the chapel that were members of the chapel came to hear the talk as well. And Thomas Wolfe, the author in the talk, basically there was one big point to all his messages, and that was that we're all essentially good. That at our core, we're good people, and we're all good. And I don't have the eloquence to say all that he said in the way that he said it, but essentially that was the message. And so as the dean of the chapel was walking out with one of his parishioners, he asked them, you know, what do you think of that message? What do you think of that talk? And she said, well, I don't know. I'm sure it's okay for some people, but when I was 12 years old, I was abused by a family member, and it's haunted me my whole life. And I know that we're not all essentially good, left alone and without Christ. And that's what it's saying in John 3, verse 19 as well in the gospel. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I remember my ethics teacher in seminary saying that sin is not just something we do, it's something that possesses us. I've always remembered that. And so I think, you know, sometimes we just think of sin as, you know, little things that we kind of stumble and do, and now and then. And it's a much bigger problem that ends up separating us from God than just little things. You know, sin is never fun to talk about, but it's crucial that we do so because, and we're glad that Lent, you know, the church gives us the season of Lent to kind of focus on it and to do that. I found this quote this week, which I liked. Sin is more than simply not quite living up to our human potential, stumbling, making mistakes, or being off the mark by a notch or two. The church's notion of sin, like that of Israel before it, is different. It's derived not from speculation about the universal or general state of humanity, but rather from a peculiar, quite specific amount of what God is up to in the world. What God is up to is named as covenant, Torah, or for Christians, the cross of Jesus, and light coming into the darkened world. Christians believe that the only means of understanding our sin with appropriate seriousness and without despair is our knowledge of God, who manages to be both gracious and truthful. The light comes into the darkness, and nothing the darkness can do can overcome the light. You know, I think we need such a vigorous doctrine of sin because it puts us exactly where we're supposed to be, and that is in the arms of a gracious Savior who is able to deliver us and to save us. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." You know, our culture, I don't think this is an official name for it, but one thing that is definitely a theme in our culture, it is something I call bootstraps culture, and that is, it's very honored in our culture to pull our own selves up by our own bootstraps, right? To in our individuality, in our own strength, and kind of to do it our own way. And that's not enough for the sin that separates us from the living God. In the Ephesians passage today, it talks about immeasurable grace. Grace so much that it can't be measured. And that's what Christ is able to come and bring to the sin that separates us from God. The crucified and risen Lord can deal with any sin, no matter how great, not just the little slip-ups and the little things like that, but sin so great that it is recalled in our history in the 20th and 21st century. Christ and what he has done is even able to deal with that. And one thing that happens that I think we often forget is, and this is why we need a vigorous doctrine of sin, and to know that without Christ we aren't good, is because it leads us to the God who is good and to the Christ who is able to defeat sin, no matter how big, because of his immeasurable grace. There was a person that was visiting the tomb of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and that is just another word for the tomb where Christ was buried, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And he went to visit that, and this church is supposed to be built on the exact site of where Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. And throughout his whole visit there, he was focused on Jesus' death and, you know, the dead body of Jesus being laid in this exact spot where this church is. And then after he left, he went home and began to reflect upon, you know, this visit to this incredible place. And he, all of a sudden, it struck him that this wasn't just the place where Jesus' dead body was laid. This was the place where Jesus was raised from the dead. And so we know that the wages of sin and death, the wages of sin for us is death. But know that there's Jesus Christ with immeasurable grace that can atone for those sins, that has atoned for those sins, and will raise us from the dead as well. You know, sin had to be, must be, a really big enemy, because God went to incredible extremes to deal with it. I mean, to come in the flesh and to go to the cross and a public death like that, and how excruciating and painful the death. Overcoming sin must be a bigger thing than I think most of us, including myself, think of it on a daily basis. Again, not just the small slip-ups. It must be a bigger deal for God to go to such extremes to deal with it, to give such a costly sacrifice in order to atone for it. And so, long story short, I guess, don't be depressed that it turns out that by our nature we're not good on our own. You know, that we're not all good at heart and by nature. But instead, let us welcome with joy the God who is good and the God who can atone for all the sins that we commit and has done so in His Son, Jesus Christ. We couldn't deal with it, but the Son of God has come and done and dealt with what we could not. And so even though we're not good on our own, we are God's handiwork. And in verse 10, it says that we were created by Jesus Christ and set aside for good works in which He is going to do for us. And that can only happen if He's dealt with a sin that is a part of all of our lives and that collectively and individually affect us. He's paid the wages of that upon the cross. He has removed that weight and that debt. And in Christ, we've seen what goodness really is. Amen.